packed house is a testimony to the value of the faithful exposition of Scripture for a lifetime. For you who are students, don't ever forget the power of the Word taught year after year, Sunday after Sunday. It affected all of our lives who are sitting here today. For those who are not here, in the youthful expression, just tell them that they are this. I learned that from my kids. So just say you missed it, okay? You're out of it. Such a privilege to have Dr. Charles Stanley back on our campus. We have had him here periodically. I still remember one of the spiritual life sessions in which he spent a week with us teaching us about prayer. But he's been a minister at the First Baptist Church of Atlanta for years. He's the founder of In Touch Ministries, located in Atlanta, Georgia. His heart's desire is to get the gospel to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, as clearly as possible, as irresistibly as possible through the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God. Not a bad life mission. Because of this goal, his teachings are transmitted widely and as effectively as possible. If you go on his website, all of the vehicles and all of the media that he has used, in contemporary abilities to reach around the world. His broadcasts, the radio and television broadcasts, are seen on more than 2,800 stations around the world. On the internet, at intouch.org, and through InTouch Messenger Lab, his inspiring messages are also published in two award-winning publications, the InTouch Devotional and the InTouch Magazine, and also he's authored just a little over 60 books. One of the fun things as a president of Dallas Seminary in talking with my Southern Baptist friends is Dr. Stanley sent both of his kids to Dallas Seminary. And Andy's wife is a student, and now Matt is going to be entering, his grandson is going to be entering our program. And Rebecca is here today. One of my first years of teaching, she was a student. I came just after Andy left, and while Rebecca was still here, and so it was a privilege to see her and greet her again today. And I apologize to her for those early days, when I'm sure I heaped much more assignments than I should have in those early days. Dr. Stanley, thank you for your ministry over the years. Thank you for the blessing that you have been to the world. But thank you especially for your support of Dallas Theological Seminary. By your life, by your recommendations, there's been scholarship established in his name for our students here. So would you join me in welcoming and honoring Dr. Charles Stanley?
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here. And the truth is, I graduated from Southwestern, and I have always encouraged people to come to Dallas. Well, people say, well, why didn't you go to Dallas? I didn't have any money. That's the real reason. And I could go to Southwestern for just about nothing. And I would drive by once in a while and think, gosh, but at least my family is here, and I'm very, very grateful. Well, I've been a pastor for 68 years. I've been at First Baptist for about almost 50. I'm 86. I love every minute of it. The other alternative is to be gone. So, what I want to do is to give you a little glimpse of the most basic, powerful principle you'll ever learn in ministry. Did you get that? You can quote me on it, and if you leave here and you don't believe it, you can see me at the door, and I'll send you to the president. I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture from Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And then listen to this. Do not be wise in your own eyes that'll get you in trouble. Well, the way I learned that principle was I've been a pastor in North Carolina in a very small village church, and then in Ohio, then in Miami, Florida, Bartow, Florida, and then I came to First Baptist against my will. I did not want to come because it meant I was to come as an associate pastor. I didn't like the pastor. He was theologically way out in left field over the fence. And there was nothing about the church that would attract me to Atlanta, Georgia. But here's how God operates oftentimes. Sometimes He'll give us a little signal of what He's going to do without telling us what it is. And I remember vividly, I was up in Virginia preaching a revival, and got ready to go to bed that night, and I couldn't sleep, so I just began to pray and ask the Lord to speak to my heart. And that happened about three nights in a row, and then on the next night, I got down to pray, and I just felt like, where is God? What is this all about? And on this big screen, I'm in this little motel room, this big screen, left-hand corner, top right-hand corner, in big, bold, black letters, September. I thought, what? I've only been in Bartow less than 2 years. So I knew God was saying something to me. So I thought about it a little bit. Next night, I preached and came home the next night. Monday morning, I got up and I had a telephone call. And it was from a friend of mine who was on the pulpit committee of the First Baptist Church of Atlanta. And he started telling me about how they needed a pastor and so forth and on. I said, Felix, I have no interest in that whatsoever. So when we hung up, I broke out crying for no reason at all, just weeping. And so 6 months later, after them sending a pulpit committee down to see me six times, I didn't want to go. I didn't like anything about it. I was going to be an associate pastor with a pastor I had no respect for whatsoever. But I knew God told me to go. So I learned a lot in that process of how God works and how He operates. And so finally, the Lord straightened out my heart about it all. And I went. I was so popular. They gave me an office with a desk, but never gave me the keys to open the door. No. I'd been there a few months, and so seven men were on this committee, and they sort of ran everything. So I was attending the committee, and they were trying to make a decision about something, and they kept hem-hawing around about it and couldn't make a decision. So I just, as an associate pastor with no authority and no reputation, I said, well, why don't we just pray about this? There were three attorneys, one judge, and two other guys on this committee. And their quick response was, leave God out of this. This is business. Well, I knew that war was coming. So I was there about 2 years before this all happened, before what I'm going to tell you happened. And then they set out to get rid of me because they realized that this whole idea of being obedient to God was foreign to them. They ran everything all the time. And so I saw what was coming. And what was coming was they were going to do their best to fire me. And so I went away for a little while, 2 days, and just asked the Lord to speak to my heart. I'd do whatever He said there. I'd be happy for Him to tell me to be gone. And He didn't say that. I learned the greatest lesson I've ever learned in the ministry, to make this the bottom line of every decision. Not almost bottom line of every decision. Obey God, leave all the consequences to Him. That sounds simple, but it ended up in a big church fight. And I'm sitting over in the corner in the shadows. Nobody knew I was in there. And they talked about me for 3 solid hours. Interesting thing is, not one single person said a negative word about me. I'm sitting there thinking, well, if I want to get rid of him, here's what I'd do. And so, but somehow God shut their mouths. So I became the pastor, and I've been the pastor ever since, about 50 years. Of course, they had to leave. And, well, they did have to leave. In fact, I'll tell you, the church literally had a party. We had a big party celebrating their departure. Now, enough of all that, except to say, I learned the greatest lesson I've ever learned in the ministry. Obey God. Leave all the consequences to Him. That takes 2 things primarily. A lot of courage and a lot of faith. In some situations, more so than not. So when you think about your life and you think about your future, I would ask you this. What will be the bottom line for you as you serve the Lord? You're going to have conflict. You don't have any conflict, more than likely you're not doing anything. You'll have conflict. You'll have people who will love you dearly, and people who can't stand you, and people can't figure you out. They'll come from all different directions. So you have to decide how you're going to respond. You can compromise with this group and that group and this group, and if you do, you'll go through your ministry compromising with other people. When it's all over, you'll wonder what you did and if you could have done better. And why did you allow these things to happen? So I would ask you this morning, not that I expect an answer, but for you to consider, what will be the bottom line? What will be the decision you make in your life that overrides everything else? A decision that you're willing to base your whole future on. Not today, but leaving it today and changing it till tomorrow. But what will be the principle that governs your life? Now, you'll leave this place knowing Greek and Hebrew and history and all those things, but the issue is, what about you? You'll have a lot of this, but what about where your heart is? Are you committed to Jesus Christ enough to be obedient to Him, that when they say to you, you cannot be pastor of this church, you cannot teach this, you cannot do that, unless you do the following things which you know are not right? What will your answer be? And remember this, you're young, and you've got a long time to live. You're going to have to live with whatever that principle is. What will it take to buy you off? I could tell you all the things they promised me if I leave quietly. And the night of the business meeting, they sent a seminary professor and an attorney to my study to tell me that I would never be able to be a pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention if I didn't resign that night. Well, I didn't care anything about the Southern Baptist Convention. I just happened to be one, but I had no real loyalty. I said, well, thank you very much. Well, I ended up being the president of the Southern Baptist Convention with the largest attendance ever in its history of 55,000 people right here in Dallas, Texas, 46,000 of whom were messengers. And so on I could go. The bottom line is this. What's going to determine the direction of your ministry, the depth of your ministry? What's going to determine what you accomplish in life? It is an education, although that's very important. It isn't a lot of things that people want to tell you is so very important. The important thing is this. What will you make your ultimate deciding factor in all your decisions that you can live with yourself, get on your knees and talk to God and know that between the two of you, there's nothing but clarity? Because you're going to have to live with yourself. And I think that a lot of pastors who do not have the courage to stand for their conviction, they say, well, suppose I lose my church. That's not the only church in the world. God, listen, God knows how to put you where He wants you, regardless of what anybody says. And it's not that you're being obnoxious. Tell me, what other than obedience to God is God pleased with? Only obedience. So while you're sitting in class and studying all these subjects that are so very important, I would simply ask you this question. Are you thinking about where you're going to serve God? You don't know where that's going to be. It could be in many different places. But the issue is, what will be the underlying, deciding, determining fact about how you make decisions in your ministry? Don't ever forget that. That will determine whether you are going to be happy in the service of the Lord, whether you accomplish anything or not worthwhile, and whether you're fruitful or not. And there are many people serving the Lord who are unhappy. And you're going to meet people who are not going to like you. You're going to meet people who just love you to death. But the issue is not any of that. The issue is, what's the determining factor about how you make decisions? And here's what you'll remember, I hope. It's amazing how God knows before you make a decision about something, before He even brings it up, He'll let something happen in your life to sort of get you ready for it. And I think about how many times that's happened in my life. And I remember one occasion, I was flying to Atlanta, and it was a snowstorm, and this pilot had, in this particular ministry had said, "We'll drop you off in Atlanta." I said, "Okay, thank you very much." And we were in the conversation, he was sitting across from me, just the two of us in the plane. And he was talking about his ministry and how big it was. And it was all over everywhere, no question about it. And he was an excellent preacher. And he said, "Charles, if you're going to grow the ministry, you got to ask for money. If you don't ask for money, your ministry is not going to grow." When he said that, I can still remember where he was sitting and what I felt. It's just like God shot an arrow straight to my heart. And so I thanked him for telling me that. And then one day I was down praying, asking the Lord to give us direction about what we were to do in purchasing a building and expanding the ministry and so forth. And I'd been praying all week, asking God to give me direction about it, because at that time we just had one little small building, and there were about 10 of us on the staff at that time. And so just asking God, show me what to do. What do you want me to do? And we didn't have any money much. And so I kept praying and asking the Lord to lay it on my heart. And this happened to be the week before Easter. And at 11 o'clock on Saturday night, I have no message. God shut me down. And I did what any pastor would do. I flipped through all my older sermons I'd preached on Easter, seeing if I could get some affirmation, some confirmation on one of them. Dead silence. At 11:30, I gave up. I said, "Okay, God, what are you saying to me?" He said, "You must never spend one moment of time on television asking for money. Never. Under no condition." So I said, "Okay." Well, I didn't have much choice. It was Saturday night, and tomorrow's Easter. But I meant what I said. "Okay, Lord." And God will come to you in certain times in your life to say things very clearly if you'll listen. But just a little short hop down, hop up prayer won't cut it. Sometimes you just need to stay there until you know that God has said something that sounds like God, not some compromising, easy way out of something. So I said, "All right." And we've never asked for a penny. And I won't begin to tell you where we are all over the world and all the things that have happened and all the buildings and so forth. We've never asked for one single penny. But God had to get me to the place that I was willing, even if the ministry didn't go very far, I was willing never to ask for money. So remember this. Sometimes when the biggest blessing God has in store for you, the most difficult requirement may be what you hear. Can't ask for money. None. Not anyway, anytime, anywhere. Can't do it. And so it's so easy to be persuaded by people who look successful and who are successful. But the question is, what can you live with? That's the question you have to answer. What can I live with? Can I live with this decision of asking for money when God has said, not do it? And anybody would have told you there's no way for you to manage it without asking money. And that was especially during the times when the fellows who were the most popular at the time, they were just raking in the dough, as they would say. God said to me, not a cent. Can't say a word. Did you know that not long after that, stations began to open up? I had nothing to do with it. In fact, I don't even know how to do most of what's happened at InTouch. My CEO is sitting on the front row over here. He has been my asset all along. And he and I both came from a Pentecostal background. I don't know what that means, except one thing about all the Pentecostals I grew up with, they knew how to talk to God out loud. That's the way I learned. And so here's what I want you to see. When things look impossible to you, and you're right with God, and you're talking to Him, you can expect God to do something that you can't figure out. Never be able to figure it out. And it's amazing how He sends people into our life at the very time we need them. When I was going through the toughest time at First Baptist, and they were going to have this meeting and throw me out, this little old lady by the name of Mrs. Sauls, she was 70 years of age, she kept calling me and saying, Pastor, she had a deep voice, I want you to eat lunch with me. Well, I talked her out of it for as long as I could. Finally, I said, okay, I'm going. So I went to this home, and she said, after we had lunch together, she said, I want you to go with me up to my room. I said, oh, Jesus, what is this about? But I'll tell you something. That day, up to that point in my life, I heard the greatest sermon I'd ever heard. So I went with her to her room. We didn't sit down. She said, I want to show you something. I said, all right. She walked over to the wall and she pointed this picture on the wall of Daniel in the lion's den. And Daniel had his hands behind him and he was looking out the window, and all these lions with the mouths open and so forth are all around him about to devour him. You've probably seen that photo, that picture. She said one thing to me. She said, son, what I want you to remember is this. I can hardly tell you. Daniel doesn't have his eyes on the lions, but on God. Absolutely just snowed me. I walked away thinking, Lord, thank you that you didn't listen to me and keep on arguing about going to see this lady. She preached the message. And the night that they voted to call me as pastor, she was the person, real quiet, little old short lady. She's the one who stood up and said, I make a motion that we call Dr. Stanley as pastor. But first of all, she took me to the lion's den. It was an awesome lesson for me. But you see, you got to go back to what we said in the beginning. You have to decide how you're going to operate. And the time for you to decide, that's before you leave this school. You've got great professors. They can teach you all the theology and all the rest, but you have to make a decision how you're going to live out your ministry. And the best time to do that is while you don't have the pressure on you. While you have time to spend time with God, while you're studying, Lord, while I'm studying Hebrew or while I'm studying church history, speak to my heart. Give me something in my life, some underlying principle, some governing principle that from now on, when I get in the middle of the ministry and the heat's on and things are not going my way, that I won't hesitate and I won't compromise. I don't know how you live with yourself in the ministry as a compromiser. I don't know how you get up to preach if you've not been true to God. I don't know how you can lead other people to Christ and tell them how awesome it is to serve God or to be obedient to Him if you're not doing it. But I can tell you, you're going to get tested. You say, well, I don't think I want to be tested. then you are on Mount Tehillah Beans. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to be argued with. You're going to be threatened. And somebody says, well, that's not very enticing for the ministry. Well, I got two examples for you, Jesus and Paul. You believe what they say. Well, that's what you can look forward to. It's going to be that way. Now, for a long time, you may be loved by everybody. I'm just saying, remember this. If you can make your bottom line principle, I'm going to obey God and leave all the consequences to Him, here's what you have. You have Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and all the power of Almighty God at your disposal, if you'll trust Him. Is it easy to trust Him? No. And sometimes you'll be in the heat of the battle and you'll think, well, now, Lord, have I made the right decision? And the Spirit of God will confirm it in one way or the other. That you're doing the right thing, you're being obedient to God. I think about many of my friends who probably would not agree with me. And they have their ministries and they're doing what God wants them to do. But I wouldn't change anything about what God's done in my life. For the simple reason, I felt very insecure. When it came to being secure or insecure, I was very insecure. In fact, as I look back, I think the more insecure I was, the better off it was. Because it drove me to my knees. God, I can't do this. How am I going to do that? What are you going to do? And the wonderful thing about God, you don't have to worry about Him showing up late. He's going to always be on time. He's going to give you exactly what you need. No matter what's going on, He'll be there when you need Him. But the time for you to decide this, it's not after you've been a pastor a long time. It took me a while. But now, while you're sitting in class, and one day you may be sitting in Greek class and you don't understand anything, especially Hebrew, excuse me. You may not understand much. And all of a sudden, God says to you something that you know in your heart that you're never to compromise the gospel you're studying. You're going to be here 3 or 4 years studying how to study the Word of God, how to present the Word of God, how to defend the Word of God. Well, what about how to live it out every day, trusting Him for whatever needs to be done in your life? And I think about people who will do their best with all sincerity to persuade you to do something that you know spiritually is not right. And it's difficult, especially when you're sitting in a church and you have a committee and you have a nice house and you drive a nice car, your family's happy, and all of a sudden you've got opposition. And you know that all your security, it could suddenly leave. Remember this, your security is not in anybody's money, anybody's authority, anybody's power. Your security is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. That's the only place you have security. So therefore, you can stand anything. Now, I love this passage because he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not some of it. All your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, which is what we're prone to do. We can reason ourselves out of almost any difficult situation. Don't lean on your own understanding. Watch this. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, obey Him, and leave the consequences to Him. If you will think about that, think about your life, think about your future. When you have lived out your future, when you have lived out your ministry, what do you want to know about yourself? Don't you want to know that you gave it your best? Don't you want to know that when times were tough, you were obedient to God? Don't you want to know that when everything was against you, you trusted Him and you won? I remember when the Southern Baptist Convention was here, and it was just war. I mean, cursing. I mean, it was just warfare. And So they had a big meeting of all the state papers of all the Baptists and so forth. And they wanted to interview me. So there was about, I guess, 50 somewhere thereabouts, plus a lot of other people. And they were giving me a hard time. And so the election was coming. And they told me why I couldn't win. They said, all of us are against you, and we're the ones who do all the writing. And the presidents of the seminaries were all against me. In fact, everybody, it seemed, was. And I'm sitting there, and I remember I made myself a 3x5 card. I wrote on the side of it, pause, and said in front of me, don't answer anything quickly. So they were giving me a hard time about how I couldn't. I wasn't qualified. I'd been a Pentecostal holiness. I'd spoken in tongues. I'd done that. I have not, by the way. They accused me of all of these things. And then when they finished, they said, you can't win. I said, no. What do you mean I can't win? I can't lose. They broke out laughing because it looked like it was 50-50 at the time, somewhere thereabouts. I said, I can't lose. Well, they jeered and they laughed and they criticized me and so forth. And they said, what do you mean you can't lose? I said, if I win, I win. If I lose, I still win. Because my goal is to be obedient to God, not to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. They went up, silence, dead silence. And finally, they made a few remarks and they walked away, and of course, I won. I'm simply saying this, you can't lose obeying God. You say, well, does that mean you can't hurt? No. Be rejected? Yes. Have difficulty? Yes. People make remarks about you? They're not, yes. Well, look at the Apostle Paul, look at Jesus. Anybody who lives for Jesus Christ and obeys Him is going to suffer something. But the one thing you don't want to do is end up your life at that somewhere and think, oh God, these two little words, if I'd have done this, I knew better, if I'd have, you don't want that in your life. You may make mistakes. You may not get where you want to get in life, wherever that is. But if you obey God and leave all the consequences to Him, one thing for sure, you will have experienced the very best that God has in mind for you. So you just have to decide if that's what you want to do or not. That sounds real simple. But I challenge you, before you go to sleep tonight, you can get in the bed, but before you go to sleep tonight, now you're going to want to go to bed quickly. Before you go to bed tonight, you ask God, Lord, show me where I am in my thinking about you, my loyalty to you, my devotion to you. And I want to challenge you to start praying for God to so work in your heart that you can come to the place where you can say, I'm going to obey God, leave all the consequences to Him. Not in some things, but in every aspect of your life. I'll tell you what will happen. You'll be free. Because a sovereign God of the universe lives within you. He has the power to do anything and everything through you, more than you could ever expect. So when you surrender yourself to Him, and you're going to get tested and tried, but here's what will happen. You'll have a big test, you'll come through and you'll say, thank you, Jesus, thank you for being faithful, loyal, and devoted to me too. Things will begin to happen in your life. It will change your life where it needs to be changed. It will solidify the very foundation of everything you've learned when once you can come to that place to say, God, not my will, but your will. We hear that all the time, but what about this? I'm going to obey you, leave all the consequences to you. If you'll think about what you're studying and what you're saying you believe, you cannot fail if you obey God, leave all the consequences to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my time is up, and I'm sorry, but I just want to leave that one truth with you. So I don't want you to ever forget it. Obey God, leave all the consequences to Him. So let's say it together. Ready? Obey God,
leave all the consequences to Him.
You said it. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank You and love You for Your grace and kindness and wonderment toward us, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You that You never fail us. We fail You, You forgive us. We trust You, and sometimes, Father, there have been doubts. We thank You that You never fail Your children. I pray that You'll write indelibly upon the hearts and the minds of all these students to obey You, leave all the consequences to You, and know in their hearts You will have the best for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much.